We are continuing our study of the Agadah section of this Gemara, and we're about to encounter a very, I think, one of the more interesting Agadahs. And the shiur today might be a little short because it's really two. We're going to divide the shiur into two. We're going to read the Agadah today and sort of discuss the halachic issues that arise, and then please God, next week we'll analyze the Agadah in greater depth. And sort of the greater significance of the story. But here comes the basic story. It's on page 1 where I mark Tanya. That's where we left off from last week. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi. Pam achat hayiti mehalech baderech. Rabbi Yossi, who's a Tana, said, one time I was walking along the way. V'nichnasti lechurba, and I went into the destroyed the remnants of the temple. Well, achat mechurbot Yerushalayim, not necessarily temple. Sorry, one of the remnants of the destroyed parts of Jerusalem. Let palelba, he entered it in order to daven there. Eliyahu zachur latov. Vishamarli ala petach. Elijah the prophet came and watched over the opening of the remnant of this, the chorva. How would you translate chorva besides remnant? There's got to be a better term than remnant. What would you say? The wreckage, yeah, the debris, I don't know.
Collapsed.
Collapsed parts.
Dilapidated
house. Sure. So Elijah the prophet came and watched over the place where I was praying.
Ruin.
The ruin. That's it. The ruin. That's the word. The ruins. The ruins. So Elijah came and watched over the ruin. Vehimtinli achisiyamti. And he waited there until I finished praying. He came on a day for a garata. We're up to a story in the Talmud as opposed to a halacha. It's okay. After I finished davening, Amarli Shalom Alecha Rebbe. When I finished davening, he said to me, hello, my rabbi, hello, my teacher. Vamarti lo Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. And I said to him, hello, my rabbi and my teacher. Said to me, my son, why have you entered this ruin? Amarti lo lehitpalel. I said to him, I entered it in order to daven. Amarli, hayalacha lehitpalel baderech. Said, you did the wrong thing. You should not have entered the ruin to daven. You should have just davened along the way. Amarti lo, he said, I was afraid lest the passers-by stop me from davening. And then he said to me, well, you should have davened a short prayer, and that way nobody would bother you. You'd be finished by the time they came to bother you. Lamadeti mimeno shlosha dvarim. At that moment, I learned from him three things. Lamadeti she'ein nichnasin lechurva. I learned that you're not supposed to, number one, that you're not supposed to enter a ruin. Ve'lamadeti shemitpalalin baderech. And I learned that you daven along the way. And number three, ve'lamadeti shem hamitpalel baderech mitpalel tfilak tzara. And I learned that the one who, that if you daven along the way, you should daven the short prayer, the Tefillah Tzara. We'll discuss in a minute. So first of all, it would seem the story ends there. Normally, you say the moral of the story at the end of the story, right? That's what you would expect. But the story goes on. It's kind of interesting that Rabbi Yossi breaks up the story into two parts by introducing the moral of the story in the middle of it. So, Now we have a second part of the story. It continues. Va'amarli bni. So now Elijah continues and says, my son, ma kol shama'ata b'chur vazo. What voice did you hear in the ruin? Va'amarti lo, shama'ati bat kol shemenahemet keyona. I heard a bat kol, I heard a voice that is moaning like a dove. Ve'omeret oy labanim shebe'avonotehem hecheravti et beiti v'sarafti et heichali v'higlitim levein ha'umot. And it says, woe unto my sons, that because of their sins, I destroyed my home, burned my heichal, my sanctuary, and exiled them among the nations. By the way, those of you who were here last week, we learned, this is kind of where it comes up. Last week we read the immediately preceding Agadita, where God roars like a lion and says those things three times a day, right? So here, Rabbi Yossi went into the churva, into the ruin, and heard God moaning like a dove, which is different from roaring like a lion, saying these things.
It's different than
basketball. What?
It's different than saying it's a basketball.
Right. But what I think is interesting that's coming up is that Elijah, whereas Rabbi Yossi thinks that he heard something special, he heard a bat kol, Elijah kind of, you know, throws away Rabbi Yossi's wonder. He says, Amarli, Chayecha v'chayei roshecha, lo sha'azo bilvado meret kach, ela b'chol yom v'yom, shalosh pe'amim omeret kach. Elijah the prophet says to him, not a big deal. You thought it was such a big deal. You heard, you know, you heard the voice, the bat kol, moaning like a dove in the ruin, but it's not such a big deal. Several times a day, three times a day, this happens anyway. Velozo bilvad, not only that. Ela b'sha'asha Yisrael nechnasim lebatei knasiyot ulebatei midrashot. But when Jews go into synagogues, ve'onin yehi shmei hagadol mevorach, an answer to Kaddish, Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevarach La'olam U'Lolmei Almaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mena'aneh Rosho, God nods his head, Ve'omer, and says, Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsin Oto Beveito Kach. Praised be the king, who is praised, who is honored by in his home, in such a manner. Malo La'av Sheglait Banav. Why would the father exile his children? Ve'oy lahem labanim shegalu me'al shulchan avihem. And woe unto the sons who have been exiled from their father's table. So that's the story. In a quick read, it kind of just seems like a story, but I think that if you look at it closely, there are very curious elements to the story that we can really read into them. Before we do that, well, you know what? We'll do the halachic pieces afterwards. Let's read the story again. Now that we know the story, so again, Rabbi Yossi enters the ruin. He davens. Turns out Elijah watches over him while he davens, and waits for him to come out. Rabbi Yossi said, they exchange readings. Elijah says, why'd you enter the ruin? He says, to pray. Elijah says, well, you should have prayed a short prayer along the way. Then we have a break. Rabbi Yossi recites the three things that he's learned from this encounter with Elijah the prophet. And then it goes on, and Elijah asks about the voice that Rabbi Yossi heard while inside the ruin. Okay. turns out the voice was not such a big deal, because it happens three times a day anyway. And then Elijah adds the other thing. What? Well, of course, but nonetheless, it's he says chayecha v'chayei roshecha. It's like this, you know, it's not that means Rabbi Yossi is not such a big deal. So, Rabbi Bamzer, I don't like being metarets the tirutzim before we ask the kasha. Let's first ask all the kashas, then we have the tirutzim. Okay. So let's first read closely. At first glance, chayecha v'chayecha, without any analysis, no analysis, just reading the words, sounds like Elijah says to Rabbi Yossi. It's not chayecha v'chayecha roshecha is like, you know, it's an expression. It's you know, he's kind of putting down Rabbi Yossi a little bit. And then we'll explain in analysis why that is later. Okay. Let's go back and now read much more closely. I think it means, it literally means your life and the life upon your head. But there are all these sorts of, you know, expressions in the Talmud, like, you know, the one that comes to mind, like, Mari Devraham, like, oh, good God, you know, or things like that. It's that kind of an expression. Okay. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi. First of all, who is Rabbi Yossi? Anybody? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta is a fourth generation Tana, which means he's immediately before. How many generations of Tanaim are there? Five. So he's a very, very late Tana. He's a student of Rabbi Akiva, a very, very close student of Rabbi Akiva. And he was the teacher of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Who was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? What was his significant accomplishment? He compiled the Mishnah. So what would you expect? Would you expect Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta to be an influential rabbi then? Would expect so, because Rabbi happens to be that his student compiled the Mishnah. So more than likely, many of the teachings in the Mishnah would be teachings of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. And indeed, Rabbi Yossi's halacha is preferred to all the other Tanaim. Whenever Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, whenever Rabbi Yossi, this halacha ka Rabbi Yossi mechaveirav. So whenever there are disagreements, and Rabbi Yossi is among the disagreements, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. So he's incredibly influential. Chalafta, Chet, Lamed, Pei, Taf, Aleph. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. His father was Chalafta. His father was kinder to his son than his grandparents or the father named the kid Chalafta. Yossi, at least, a regular kind of a name. Okay. And another interesting piece of this is that this Agadita, this story, is told in first person by Rabbi Yossi. Most Agadot are not told in first person. Most Agadot are told in third person, meaning from an outsider's perspective, explaining the story between all these people. But here Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta tells a story that happened to him personally. So that's already interesting also. It's a personal story. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Pam achat hayiti mehalech baderech v'nechnasti lechorva achat mechorvot Yerushalayim. One day I was walking along the way, on my way, and I entered a ruin. Now, I think an argument could be made that to our more superficial reading of the story, there is excess information here. And we assume that there's never excess information in the Talmud. So, to my mind, mehalech baderech is excess. Because if you want to tell a story about what happened in the ruin, all he had to say was, one time I was in the ruin, davening, and Elijah the prophet was outside.
That's a very important thing. At one of the Shvami houses, not there.
We'll get there. Yeah. That's right. So you could say that. I have another. Rav Kook in Einaya has a wonderful reading of the Sagarta, which we'll get to next week. But it makes. I'm specifically pointing out all of the things that Rav Kook points out. He was mehalach baderach. He was walking along the way. So, in theory, this could have just started. I was in the ruin, right? If he was just telling the story, he was in the ruin. V'nichnasti lechorva achat mechorvot Yerushalayim. Another kind of superfluous detail. And for this one, it didn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter that it's a... What difference does it make to us that it's achat mechorvot Yerushalayim? Even for the Shema Minas, it doesn't mean the Shema Minas, it could have been any Chorva. Don't enter a Chorva. That's all he's teaching.
Was Yerushalayim at that generation, is that considered a Baderek?
What do you mean?
I would have thought Jerusalem is never a Baderek. When you come into a city, you're not Baderek.
So what does Baderek mean? So that's a good question. What does Baderek mean?
The way Eliyahu Navi's talking about it, it seems like Baderek is the kind of Derek that's dangerous. It's not that Islam is going from point A to point Z. Though that he's in the middle of the city, he's still Baderek. Baderek means that you're in the wilderness, that there's a danger point. So either Yerushalayim at that point. So either. What?
We're into Baderek. Either for the sake of being people, or when Mafsik came, or if you talk about danger, then you talk about the possibility of not regaining
Right, so I would assume that Yerushalayim wouldn't be over there.
Why
didn't he go into the Khurba? Because he wanted to go
to the
out of
the
way of people. Yeah. In any event, I would argue that Achat Mechorvot Yerushalayim is nonetheless a superfluous detail in the story.
And I'll just close it
Yeah. And so maybe, in the Havamina, Rabbi Yossi thought that because it was a special kind of a chorva, it's proper to daven there. But he'd learned from Eliyahu Navi that nonetheless, even though it's a special kind of a chorva, it's not proper. That's correct. So again, I want to set aside these answers because we'll get to answers. It's okay. Rabbi Yossi was from Tzipori. He was not from Yerushalayim, and he never lived in Yerushalayim. Never lived in Yerushalayim. So for him, Yerushalayim was a destination.
He was traveling.
He's traveling. He's definitely traveling, yeah. Rabbi Yossi was from Tzipori. Okay, let's continue reading. Let's Pal Elba. Ba Eliyahu Zachor Latov Veshamar Li Ala Petach. Elijah came and guarded the entrance until I finished davening. First of all, it's very considerate of Elijah to, you know, this is another kind of interesting point of the story. If Elijah really objects to davening in the ruin, first of all, Eliyahu Hanavi is a prophet, you know, is the prophet of all prophets. No doubt, Eliyahu Hanavi, who, you know, if he were to stop Rabbi Yossi, he could have stopped Rabbi Yossi before he even entered the Chorva. Why did Eliyahu Navi just appear now? Should have appeared 5 minutes ago and said, Rabbi Yossi, don't enter the Chorva to daven. Or at the very least, stop him in the middle and say, Rabbi Yossi, you're not doing the right... If Elijah is really very passionate that davening in the Chorva is improper, might have thought that he would have stopped him earlier and not waited until he finished. But nonetheless, Elijah waits until Eliyahu Hanavi waits until Rabbi Yossi finishes davening. Okay, then they greet each other. And the way they greet each other is also interesting. Amar li, shalom alecha, Rabbi. What does Eliyahu Hanavi call Rabbi Yossi? My rabbi. I mean, I don't know if Rabbi Yossi at this point, you know, now he's telling us the story looking backwards. But maybe at this point he didn't yet know that it was Eliyahu Navi, right?
Yeah.
Could be, could not be, I don't know. Amarti lo shalom alecha Rabbi Mori, hello my teacher. But then Eliyahu Navi turns back to Rabbi Yossi and does not address him as Rabbi. He says, Amarli bni, my son. If you notice, Eliyahu HaNavi addresses Rabbi Yossi three times throughout the story. The first time, he calls him Rabbi, my teacher. And the other two times, he calls him Bni, my son. So something presumably changes between Eliyahu HaNavi and Rabbi Yossi, between those addresses, between those acknowledgments. Normally, somebody who is Rabbi would not be Bni also. They're kind of opposite relationships. Okay. Amar li Bni mipnei ma nechnasta lachurva zo. Amarti lo lehit palel. Again, Eliyahu Anavi presumably knows all this. I don't, you know, why is he asking? He presumably knows the answer to the question. I mean, this is Eliyahu Navi. It's not, you know, it's not Stamazoya Navi. He's Eliyahu Navi. So presumably he knows the answers to these questions. But nonetheless, he asks, and he kind of asks these leading questions one by one. Why'd you enter it? In order to daven, litpalel, amarti lo, v'amarli, hayalacha litpalel baderech. You should have davened along the way. Amarti lo, Mityare haiti shema yafsikubi ovrei drachim. So this actually, I want to point out something that Rabbi Bamzer alluded to earlier in his note when he was discussing with Rabbi Block. But sheyafsikubi, that they, lest, he was worried lest people, the passers-by, stop him in the middle of his davening. But yafsiku indicates a kind of halachic concern. He doesn't say sheyatridubi, that they'll bother me, or that they'll that they'll just, you know, make me stop davening. A hefsek is a hefsek is when you stop your davening in the middle. So I think there's an implication here that there's a halachic concern, because yafsikubi lahafsik is a halachic kind of a term. And indeed, Eliyahu Navi's response. Responds to that concern. Because if you daven the short prayer, there's less of an opportunity for a hefsek. I mean, if you daven the full, let's say prayer means a Shmona Esrei. If you daven the full Shmona Esrei in the middle of the road, there is an ample opportunity for someone to, you know, stop you and make you have a hefsek and make you stop davening in the middle. But if you daven the short prayer, then there is less opportunity. Just so we know what the short prayer is, turn to the next page, page 3. We're going to skip page 2 for a moment. But page 3 is a Mishnah for much later on in the 4th chapter of Masechet Brachot. the Mishnah says, I indicated with an arrow, Rabban Gamliel Omer, Bechol Yom Vayom Mitpalel Adam Shmona Esrei. Every day you're supposed to daven the Shmona Esrei. That's Rabban Gamliel's opinion. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Me'ein Shemona Esrei. Rabbi Yoshua says you have to daven something similar to the Shemona Esrei. Rabbi Akiva Omer Im Shkura Tfilaso Befiv Mispalel Shemona Esrei. Vim Lav Me'ein Shemona Esrei. Rabbi Akiva has a compromised position. He says if you're an expert at davening, if you're good at it, if you're fluent, Im Shkura Befiv means if you're fluent at davening, then you should daven the full Amidah, the full Shemona Esrei. If not, then you daven the short, then you daven something similar to Shemona Esrei. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha'oset Tfilato Keva, Ein Tfilato Tachanunim. I don't want to get into that. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, here's the key thing. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Ha'olech B'makom Sakana, Mitpalel Tfilak Tzara. Rabbi Yoshua says that one who's walking in a dangerous area should daven a short prayer, meaning not the Shemona Esrei. And then he tells us what that short prayer is in the Mishnah. Ve'omer, Hoshia Hashem et Amecha, God, may you redeem your people, at Sheirit Israel, the remnants of Israel, b'chol parashat ha'ibur, yutzarchehem lefanecha, baruch ata Hashem, shomea tefila. May all of the needs of your people be before you. Blessed are you, O God, the one who hears the prayers. Basically, shomea tefila. And then the Gemara has a few other opinions. I indicated it also with an arrow. Look at the second arrow, not the first one. There's another bright on page 4. On the left-hand side, where the lines get wide, there's another bright. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamealech bimkom gedudei chaya velistim, one who's walking around in an area where there are wild animals or thieves, mitpalel tefilak tzara, davin's a short prayer. Ve'ezehi tefilak tzara, what is it? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, aser retzoncha b'shamayim mima'al, make your will in the heavens above, ve'tei nachat ruach li're'echa mitachat, and give peace of spirit to those who fear you here below. V'atov be'inecha aseh, baruch ata Hashem shomea tefila. Do that which is good in your eyes. Blessed are you, O God, the one who hears prayers. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, and then there are several opinions. So, but there is such a tefila k'tzara, such a short prayer. Rabbi Bamzer alluded to Havinenu. Right. Well, the Tosfot on our page say it's not Havinenu. But they say that Havamina is Havinenu. Rashi says that it is Havinenu. There's a debate between the two of them. But Havinenu is... okay, yeah, at the end of it says, okay. If you look at the Rinat Yisrael Siddur, it has the tefillah of Havinenu. But our Siddurim don't have it, because we don't have such situations where you have to daven Havinenu. But in Israel, for soldiers, many times they have to daven the short prayer. So the prayer of Havinenu is found in Israeli Siddurim. I don't have a Rinat Yisrael Siddur here. And Rabbi Silton, who uses one, has left already. So we have a Rinat Yisrael up there? Oh, I see. I recognize that.
Don't need
it by saying short. I see. Oh, I see. Okay, so let's see where he has Tfila Ketzara. We say Halal.
What is?
Yeah.
With the Rabbah?
Yep.
By you did it this thing?
I'll say the bracha. I'm going to daven. You don't want to say bracha, you don't have to say bracha. I'll say the bracha. Yeah? That's Rav Lichtenstein said a bracha on Yom Yerushalayim and not a bracha on Yom Ha'atzmaut. That's Rav Lichtenstein's opinion. I don't know where it is here. I know that it's in here because I used to daven with a Rinat Yisrael, but I don't want to... I want to get back to the shiur, so I don't want to look through the table of contents right now. In any event, let's go back to the story and finish our questions on the story. okay. Back to page 1. So, you're supposed to daven a short prayer. So now he learns 3 things. So another question is, why does he interject the? Thank you. Why does he interject the moral of the story here? We'll read at the end of the shir. We'll read the Havinenu. Why does he interject the moral of the story here, and not wait until the end? You normally expect the moral of the story to come at the end of the story, and yet there's a whole bunch more to the story. And yet, Rabbi Yossi insists on dividing the story in half and interjecting what he learned, the 3 halachot that he learned right here in the middle. So that's another kind of interesting question. And those three things. You're not supposed to daven in a ruin. You're not supposed to enter a ruin. You're not supposed, and you are supposed to daven along the way. And if you daven along the way, you should daven the short prayer. So the short prayer, we examined a little bit. You're not supposed to enter a ruin. The rest of the Gemara here, which we're not going to read, goes on and discusses why you're not supposed to enter a ruin. It says, "Mepnei shlosha dvarim ein nichnasim l'churva," for three things. Mepnei chashad, because of the suspicion that if you enter a ruin, people will be suspicious as to why you entered the ruin. The implication being that it's some kind of promiscuity. Number two, mepnei hamapolet, because of danger, the ruins might fall on you. Whenever I think of this Gemara, whenever I drive on the highway, and it says fallen rock zone, and I say, how could I possibly drive here and feel like, what are you supposed to do with a fallen rock zone? I'm not going to drive here now. Drive, okay? So if the rock falls, it's, you know, that's mepnei hamapolet, mepnei hamazikin, because of the demons. Or because of the shaden, because of the demons. So, and the Gemara goes on to discuss why, you know, the Braisa needed to specifically mention all three of them. I don't want to read that right now because that'll get us sidetracked. But those are the three reasons why you're not supposed to enter a ruin. For mipnei chashad, mipnei mapolot, mipnei mazikin. Okay, so that's that halacha. Then you're supposed to daven along the way. I mean, this happens to us all the time. We daven along the way. You daven in the car. You daven in a on the airplane.
Rest stop.
All these things. That's davening along the way. But there is a hafamina. You could have thought that if you're on your way, you don't daven. You wait until you get to where you're going, and then you daven there. There is a hafamina that there was no. Yet one might think that there's no requirement to stop at a rest stop in order to daven, right? You could just drive until, let's say you're driving in the afternoon, you get to where you're going to, and that's considered enough of a tzorech that you don't daven mincha and you daven ma'ariv twice. You could imagine such a hava amina, that there's no requirement to stop your way in order to daven. But one of the halachot that he learned is that you do stop along the way to daven, meaning you don't. Yeah, being on the way is not a something that stops you from davening. Is that ma'akev? Thank you. I was looking for that word and it wasn't coming to me. Being along the way is not ma'akev. It's not what stops the davening. Okay. Let's go back to the story. Okay. V'amar li alach lipel tefillah. Okay. Be'ota sha'a. Lamadati mimeno shlosha dvarim. Okay, we just read that. The three things. Vamar libni. So now Elijah continues the questioning. And again, he refers to Rabbi Yossi as bni and not as Rabbi. Ma kol shama'ata b'churva zo. So first of all, how did Elijah know? Either Elijah didn't know he heard a voice, or he also heard the voice and knew that he heard a voice. So, you know, first of all, how does Elijah know that Rabbi Yossi heard a voice? And if he does know, then what's the question? Ma kol shama'ata? Meaning, if Elijah heard it too, then why is he asking Rabbi Yossi, what did you hear? He knows what he heard. Amarti lo, ma kol, bat kol shemenahemet keyona. ואומרת, אוי לבנים שבעוונותיהם החרפתי את ביתי ושרפתי את היכלי והגלתם לבין האומות. So, first of all, what's the comparison to the dove? After all, we know already from an earlier Gemara that this is, that he is Shoeg Ke'aryeh. God roars like a lion and says those things. He doesn't moan like a dove and say those things. So why does Rabbi Yossi hear it like a dove, and he does not hear it like a lion? What? But okay, possibly. But those are two different things. I mean, you hear a roaring, like either God is roaring like a lion, or he's saying it in a calm way. So it's interesting. Why does Rabbi Yossi?
He roars in the nighttime.
What?
He roars in the nighttime.
So what exactly is this dove thing? And then what are these three things? First of all, the first two things sound remarkably similar. Hechrafti et beiti, v'sarafti et heichali. I destroyed the temple, my home, and I burned the sanctuary. So what's the difference between those two things? Are those at all different? You could say the heichal is different from the Beit HaMikdash, but generally speaking, they refer to the same act, the same event that took place. V'higlitim levein ha'umot. And I exiled them among the nations. All of these refer obviously to the destruction of the temple and to the exile. But what exactly is the difference between those three things? Note, by the way, the repetition of the number three. Rabbi Yossi learned three things, and God and the dove said three things in her moaning. That bat kol that sounded like a dove, there were three things. Is there a relationship between these things, or is it just three is kind of a standard number? I don't know. Ve'amar li chayecha v'chayei roshecha. Lo sha'azo bilvad omeret kach, ela b'chol yom v'yom. Shalosh pe'amim omeret kach. So now Elijah says, tells Rabbi Yossi two things. He says, number one, what you heard is not a unique event, but rather something that God does three times a day. No matter what, God does this three times a day. But there, in addition to what God does three times a day automatically, what God does three times a day anyway, God also responds to something, right? Elijah tells them, three times a day, God says what you heard. But when Jews go into synagogues and pray in synagogues and answer, Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevarach La'alam Ololmei Almaya, God says even more. Right, so Elijah is referring to two separate things. What you heard, that's what everybody always hears, three times a day. But in addition to that, when Jews enter synagogues and recite Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevarach, God nods his head. What does it mean that God nods his head? Presumably God is approving in some way. Ve'omer Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsim Oto Beveito. Praised is the king who is honored, who is praised by in his house. And this is another interesting thing. Oto beveito. What's beito? What's his house? In this case, it's the synagogue. But we also heard about the bayit shenechrav, the house which was destroyed. That was the original house. And then the synagogues are another kind of a house. But they're both referred to as God's bayit, so to speak. Okay. So we've read the story and we've asked a number of questions about it. We've listed all of them. Please God, next week, we're going to look at the interpretations of Rav Kook and a few others as well in terms of how exactly to understand this story. It's actually, I think, of a very significant spiritual and halachic significance. And we'll look at that, and historical significance. And we'll look at that, please God, next week.